We thank you, Lord, for this moment when we are able to, as church, gather with these brothers and affirm them in the journey that they're taking, which is a difficult journey in these days in the church. Here in Canberra, we tend to take for granted the fact that we have these celebrations happening so often. That's an unfortunate thing that we do take it for granted, because it's so important for the life of the church. I want you, brothers, to feel that you're supported. I know people have gathered for you here, and that you're supported on the journey, and that you feel that people are standing with you and caring for you on the journey. You've been very brave, I guess, taking vows and promises on the Feast of John of the Cross. John of the Cross gets a bad press, of course, but in fact, one of my favourite quotes of John of the Cross, I have it in my breviary, I look at it every now and then, where he said, "I looked at your cross, O Christ, and I read there the song of your love. I looked at your cross, O Christ, and I read there the song of your love." And that's what you have been doing, my friends, to allow yourself to be captured by the love of Jesus, who hung on the cross for your sake. Just as John of the Cross did, so also have you allowed yourself to be persuaded by this love, the overwhelming love of Christ, and allowed yourself to be touched deeply by this love, so that you're prepared to give yourself to him. It says in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, the love of Christ overwhelms us when we think, when we reflect that if one man died for all, then all should have been dead. But he died for all so that living men and women should live no longer for themselves, but live for him who died and for us and rose from the dead. So you are to live no longer for yourselves, but for him. Because you've been persuaded, overwhelmed by his love. And as you go on the journey, we trust that will deepen, that you'll continue to be won over by this immense love of Christ, who shed his blood for you. Shed his blood for all, but so many people don't appreciate this gift. But you have come to that deep place in yourself, where you know that gift within yourself. And so you want to radically live for Jesus alone. And what a great blessing and gift that is to the church. Your consecrated life speaks in itself. It speaks that Jesus is the lasting joy. He's the lasting joy for every human person. But so often people don't know this, don't understand it, don't appreciate a depth, that truth, that all that we long for and yearn for in our lives can be found in Jesus. And your consecrated life is meant to speak before you say anything. You speak by your life, by the way you have positioned your life in this short time that we have here on this earth, by saying, "I'm for Jesus. And I'm for him alone, and he is sufficient." The responsorial psalm helps us a bit there, where it says, "If you find your delight in the Lord, he will grant your heart's desire." So, brothers, you have found your delight in the Lord. You're choosing a celibate way of life, which is not a miserable, frustrated way of life. If there is a miserable, frustrated celibate in this world, and unfortunately there are some, it's because they haven't really received the gift enough. When you receive the gift, it's a joyful gift, meant to radiate joy. The joyful discovery that Christ is all. And to be able to let the world know this good news by a life given to him. And the psalm also helps us too, because you come from a generation, guys, where people hold off making commitment. There are many options in life, are there not? And you are very talented men. Some of you could have done very well in the world. Probably all of you could have, really, in one capacity or another. But you're choosing to commit your life to the Lord in a very particular way. And the psalm says, commit your life to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will act in your life as you make this commitment to him. If you hold off making any commitment to the Lord, then, of course, what can he do? So that your righteousness breaks forth like the light and your cause like the noonday sun. You'll have a sunshine life because you're making a commitment to Christ in a very full way, in a radical way, out of the love that you've discovered in him. So bind yourself to the Lord. And that's what happens, in the, especially those who are making vows. That's what a vow is. I bind myself to the Lord. I make a solemn promise to him that I'm with him forever and committed to him in this way of life, a life of celibacy, of poverty and obedience. You're stating that you belong to him, that you're not going to live for yourself anymore. You're going to live for him. And because you radically belong to him, you radically belong to all men and women in service, a life poured out for others. And there's the joy. The joy is found in the love, not only in receiving the love, but the love that you receive from the heart of Jesus broken open on the cross for you is a love that drives you forward in service of others, in joyfully giving your life for the sake of those who most need the message of the gospel, for the sake of those who most need that loving touch of the presence of someone who will just listen to them and care for them and walk with them and bind up their wounds and lift them out of whatever misery they might be in to give them the hope that they need in their lives. So yes, today is a day of embracing the cross, but that's not a miserable thing. You are embracing the poverty of Jesus on the cross, who was stripped of everything for the sake of the kingdom. And you too are allowing yourselves to be stripped of everything, to let go of the things that previously you might have held tightly to. You're seeking to have a detachment of heart from all worldly possessions, a detachment of heart from all emotional bonds. As it says in the gospel, where Jesus says, if any man comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life too, he cannot be my disciple. Now, of course, Jesus uses that word hate. It doesn't mean what we normally think of as an emotional hate. It's basically saying totally detached, letting go even of those relationships that are most precious in preference for Christ. We prefer nothing else and no one else to Christ. He is first, and every other relationship finds its position around that. John of the Cross, who we celebrate today, had that image, didn't he, of the bird wanting to fly. But the bird had a thick cord around it, its legs, and it couldn't fly, because that cord was the attachment that needed to be broken so it could let go of any worldly attachment and fly to God and be in union with him. But he makes the point that some people will cut off rather thick cords that are around them and they start to try to fly, but they still have some slender threads that is holding them back. And says the bird still can't fly. If there's even a slender thread that's holding the legs, can't take off. So we want today to be a day where you take off, guys, that you let go of everything that would hold you back and fly to the Lord and be for God in serving him and serving his kingdom, serving the gospel. So you must, with John of the Cross, learn the way of self-denial, learn the way of dying to yourself for the sake of others, and dying to yourself for the sake of the greater thing that God wants to bring about in your life and in the life of others. Jesus gives us that image, doesn't he? The man building the tower. And if he wants to build a tower, he has to sit down and work out the cost to see if he had enough to complete it. Otherwise, if he laid the foundation and found himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers would all start making fun of him and saying, "Huh, here's a man who started to build and was unable to finish." So what's Jesus talking about? He's talking about, don't start the journey of serious discipleship, as you are starting now, unless you have all that you need to start it. And this is the trick, though. All you need is exactly nothing. That's the point. And that's why Jesus says at the end of the passage, he says, so in the same way, none of you can be my disciple unless he gives up all his possessions. That's how we become a disciple of Jesus, by letting go of it all rather than holding on too tight. So that's what's happening today. This is a serious step in that direction for you guys. And we trust the Lord that he'll continue to give us the grace to have that detachment of heart, that readiness to let go and to be for God and for God alone. And then, of course, to be for God alone means to be in a life given for everyone who comes across your path. So you will profess your vows, four of you will, before the San Damiano cross here, which is a cross, an image of the cross that spoke to Francis of Assisi. And you remember Francis praying before that cross, heard the words, "Francis, my church lies in ruins. Go rebuild my church." And I trust you also will hear those words in your heart. The church is in need of men like yourselves, who the Lord has chosen and consecrated, as he did Francis of Assisi, to stand up in a difficult time in the history of the church and to be a true witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is your call, to rebuild the church in that way, to participate in the church's mission, to preach the gospel in the season and out of season, make it your life's work in thoroughgoing service. And so we had that beautiful text from St. Paul to the Corinthians, where he's talking about his own preaching and his own ministry. And he says, "While I was staying with you, the only knowledge I claimed to have was about Jesus, and only about him as the crucified Lord." There's your agenda, brothers. The only knowledge that you claim to have is about Jesus. Now, we do a lot of teaching. We're going to go into seminaries and do all sorts of training and all that sort of thing. But that knowledge could get in the way. I mean, it's a great thing if it's in the service of love and service of the gospel. But if it's just knowledge for knowledge's sake, you know, everyone will go to sleep when you preach. Must be about Jesus. And so you've fallen in love with Jesus and let Jesus be the center of your life. Preach Jesus. Nothing else but Jesus. And the crucified Lord, on this day, look again to Jesus crucified and allow that broken, opened heart of Christ to win you to himself more so that you can speak and powerfully about Christ, but more truly to speak Christ himself, so that people will know you really mean it, that it's in your heart, that you love him and your life's given to him. And so live out your love for Jesus crucified. Consecrate yourself to the wounded heart of Jesus, broken open in love for the world. Let your heart be pierced by this love. Let your life be given for the preaching of the good news of salvation. We're about to celebrate the Eucharist. And every Eucharist, we celebrate that Jesus was taken, that he said the blessing prayer, and that he was broken on the cross and given for us. And so today, in your consecration, allow yourself to be taken by the Lord. And when you're taken by the Lord, you're taken for his people, to be a man of God for others. Allow yourself to be taken. Allow the blessing of the Lord to be fully upon you. And let your blessing prayer go up from your heart to him in thanksgiving for all that he's done in your life. And give yourself over to him. And allow yourself to be broken. Be broken open in love. Allow yourself to be given with Jesus. Let your life be one for others. And praise the Lord that he's put this on your heart. And we gather as church to affirm you, to support you, and to encourage you to go forward and not to look back, but to persevere in the promises and in the vows that you make today. And bless his holy name.